Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Deep Dive in the Left Field podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at EmilyNerds. Here are my co-host Ryan. You can find him on Twitter at RyanGarciaESM, and James, you can find him on Twitter at your own risk at James Valentinas. Today's podcast, I don't really know what we're going to be doing. I think we'll just go in kind of over just kind of where the state of MLB is right now, maybe looking at some free agents, some prospects, what have you. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's start with just looking at where the standings are right now. Nothing has drastically changed over the last, you know, few weeks, but we've seen some teams slide, some teams kind of play better. You know, obviously the Mets have played really well. The Yankees have not played really well. The Dodgers are continuing to play really well. They're probably going to end up with the best record in the league. The Astros are probably end up with a one seed in the AL. So Ryan, why don't you pick one of the teams and why don't you talk about where you think they're going to be at the end of the season?
So, I mean, you know, the Yankees, Astros, Dodgers are really good, but I think they kind of play for some uninteresting divisional races, at least right now. Yankees kind of we're going to make things interesting, and then they decide to be a little bit more serious the last couple of days. But, you know, same thing with the Dodgers. Their divisions, they've won a division already. Same thing with the Astros. They've won their division. So I want to focus a little bit on the Mets because despite the fact they've played very good baseball, the Atlanta Braves are now just, I believe, two games, and they're going to be one and a half back in the loss column after today, or one and a half back in the games back, two back in the loss column today. And I mean, the Braves have kind of just continued to play extremely good baseball. I said that I thought they were the best I thought that at some point they had kind of reached this point of they deserve to be in the conversation of these elite teams. I think we've kind of all recognized that they're at that point. You know, after that series loss to the Mets, that I believe it was a 5-game series where they got smoked in New York, they bounced right back. They continued to play well and they took care of business against the Mets at home. So they're in an interesting spot. The Mets aren't even playing bad. They're just not playing better than the Braves have been for the last few months. And a 10-game lead, even though they've played very well, has suddenly become a 2-game lead, a 1.5-game lead. I don't know. Like, I feel very confident in the Mets to win this division, but I feel like every time I count the Braves out of that division, they just, you wake up a couple of weeks later and they're 1.5, 2 games back of that division. So do we think this is finally the time that they break through? Because every time they've gotten close, they've stumbled, they've, you know, gotten beat up by either the Mets or another team, or the Mets get hot and then they kind of fall back out of it. Do we think the Braves are going to win this division?
To put it simply, no.
No. Yeah.
Like, I think the Mets are a better baseball team. And yes, you're right. Like, every time the Braves have come close, the Mets have, like, kind of fended them off, whether that means they get hot or the Braves get cold. Typically, it's been the Mets getting hot, especially recently. And the Mets this week will have a pretty good chance here to get some games back on the Braves. The Mets have the Rockies this week for 4 games, and then I think the Braves have a weekend series against the Cardinals, right? So that one's like, that's a good chance here for the Mets to kind of break this open again. You know, the Braves just beat the Mets, I think, they beat them 3-1 in a 4-game series, right, last week, and then the Mets got swept by the Yankees. So the Mets have lost I think 5 of 6 now, but I don't really think that matters. I think, you know, Scherzer lost to Herman yesterday. You can't like expect that to happen on a regular basis. You know, you go into a series for the Mets and they've got they've got better starting pitching than the Braves, and I think that'll kind of carry them throughout the rest of the year. You know, the Mets have a couple guys who I think are better than the best player on the Braves. Just if you really care about that, like you think star power carries through that in the season, then you know, I think you got to give the edge to the Mets.
Okay. How do we feel about Francisco Lindor among shortstops? Speaking of the Mets, obviously Lindor is a hot topic. Obviously, you know, some people hate him, some people like him, some people don't really care about him. And I'll start with Ryan here because I know he likes Lindor. Obviously, we know James. You know, he's a very big Lindor fan for whatever reason. Ryan, where do you think Lindor ranks among shortstops, and how do you think that plays into the Mets' success in the postseason?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that I don't understand Lindor hate in a vacuum. Like, I don't think it makes sense to hate Francisco Lindor, considering the dude doesn't have off the field issues. He doesn't have any like awful things he's done on the field. He's consistently been a great player, a great person for the sport of baseball. Like, you know, I think of the Puerto Rican series where, you know, they go down there. It was after the tragic hurricanes and all that stuff. Like, he's just a good role model. Like I think he represents baseball and he represents the Latin community well. So I've always thought of Lindor as someone who's a positive guy for baseball. But from a baseball sense, let's just talk ranking him. Tatis is still the best shortstop in baseball, in my opinion. Yes, he has the steroid suspension. Yes, that, you know, obviously means, but what has he done to like prove he isn't a 7-8 war player, right? Other than get hey, popped steroids. For steroids. But like
we don't know how much that really affected Tatis as a player, but it's also hard to rank a guy that we're not going to see for another 9 months.
I don't think it's hard to rank him. I think it's pretty simple.
Dude, he hasn't played like when he plays his next MLB game, it'll be almost 2.5 years since he's appeared in one.
Yeah, but you know the way I see it is, it's been we went a whole
no year not two the, and a half. It'll be like 1.5.
Yeah, we went a whole year without DeGrom, and he came back, and he's firing on all cylinders. It's been a whole year without
DeGrom. Also, didn't get popped for cheating.
He still got a severe injury. I mean, I would say like even Verlander. Verlander's coming back from Tommy John, and he got significantly older.
Yeah, but no
and he's
one
coming
ranked,
back. He looks perfectly fine.
No one ranked Verlander I was high on Verlander coming into the year. I had him in my top 10, and you guys thought that was like extreme. And I know it's a different circumstance for Verlander, who's 39, coming off of Tommy John, versus Tatis, who's 24. But
I think with I don't mean to interrupt you, James. I do mean to interrupt you, and I don't really care that much. But sorry.
So go ahead, interrupt me.
Verlander is not a top 10 pitcher. Let's just be very clear.
Yeah.
Not.
I think he definitely is.
He's a cool ERA, but his xFIP's like in the mid threes. His stuff really isn't quite.
Basically, he's going to win the Cy Young.
He's going to win the Cy Young.
It
doesn't make him a top 10 pitcher. Like, it really doesn't.
Robbie Ray won the Cy Young.
Yeah.
Like, he's fourth in the league in war.
What kind
of war?
Is it four. Yeah. FIP, I don't really care. It's like,
might as well. Okay. Well, let's do it with ERA. He'll be first. So,
FIP and ERA. Okay. The way I see it. Wait, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you.
RA9. And, thank you. RA9. And you know, first of all, I think RA9, I would say R war is better. War for pitchers and F4 is, so I think FIP sucks, and at least RA9 shows better results. With F4 in particular, I think people overuse it and they don't really realize it's just FIP with volume. And FIP itself is kind of a flawed stat just because, you know, you're kind of, it's simple in a good way, but it's also simple in a bad way. I think there are more productive ways to go about evaluating a player. And I understand, James, you like, you know, players who have cool ERAs, but like, I don't really see it.
Well, I mean, Verlander's leading the league in, get this, winning percentage, wins, ERA, and whip. He's the Cy Young.
Okay, but like, he really, I mean, sure.
No, I mean, to an extent, I'm joking. Like, I think Cease has had a better year than him in the AL. I think Cease should win the Cy Young. Mm-hmm. I definitely think McClanahan has kind of fallen off a little bit in that respect.
Damn. That sucks.
Shame. I think Verlander should win the Cy Young. And I think he has, the way I see it is voters are going to vote based on, you know, how good are you at getting outs, for that season. They don't really care how you do it. Just can't, did you do it? And I respect that process 100%. It's a great, you know, if you want to vote that way, that's your thing. I don't think you should vote on Sierra and XFIP for Cy Young's. I think if it's the same ERA, the same FIP, the same WAR, the same volume, then yes, you can go to those, you know, extra peripherals and how they got there to kind of differentiate them. But for Verlander, I mean, I'm going to just list pitchers I think are definitively better. And I have Ohtani, Rodon, Cole. I have McClanahan, Burns. You know, you want to say DeGrom isn't going to put up volume. I get that. But I think DeGrom's a better pitcher than Verlander is. I'll
Wheeler say, and Nola.
Yeah, Nola, Wheeler. I think Max Fried has kind of established himself as someone.
Scherzer.
Yeah, Scherzer. Alcantara.
Oh, definitely Alcantara.
Right, like, you know,
what about a guy like Kevin Gausman?
Gausman, yes, I forgot about Gausman.
Maybe probably Montas and Castillo also.
I wouldn't put Montas above Verlander.
I think Verlander is considerably better pitcher than Frankie Montas.
I think that's kind of recency bias.
I just don't think.
How are you going to call recency bias on a guy who's 39 years old and hasn't had a bad year in his career?
No, recency bias for Montas is kind of sad.
No, I don't think Montas. I'm not saying this to dock Montas. I just think Verlander and Montas are going to be similar peripheral guys. And if you're asking me if they have similar peripherals, I'm going to just say, okay, well, you know, Verlander's better at run prevention. So
if you're asking me like who is, I would say it's more like if they have similar peripherals and then Montas' stuff is like exponentially better, I would say that's kind of the tiebreaker for me. Not necessarily run prevention. I think
that's fair.
For Cy Young, for like awards, yeah. But like if you're looking at like a pitcher's like pound for pound, who's better, I think you turn to probably the stuff first and then kind of how that plays. And if it's working, you know, what adjustments a pitcher might be able to make them that much better. And I think with Montas specifically, his main issue is pitch kind of selection. And he throws too many pitches in too many different counts. Weird. Like, I feel like if I go through it, I think it'd be easier to kind of come up with a better game plan than the fucking Yankees do. Cause like they, I mean, I don't really know what they're doing sometimes, like with their pitch calling. And I think Seth Warner wrote a really good article on that. You guys should check that out on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what they're doing with Montas pitch calling. I just think, and it's tough. Cause like you put these guys in the same situation. Like if you put Montas in Houston, you know, what are the odds he's as good or better than Verlander?
Pretty, I would say very low.
I think. Well, obviously,
you think Montas is leading the league in ERA in Houston?
No, I mean
no. But ERA is not like something you can really. I don't know. You can't really think like.
ERA. Well, I know you're not saying that, but like you're also comparing it as far as like results go. Here, we're talking about Cy Young voting, like Justin Verlander.
I was talking about because you were talking about like. You know, the better pitcher, somebody mentioned better pitcher, and I was talking about better, like, who's an actual better.
I still think Verlander is a better pitcher than Frankie Montas, and I don't really think that's close.
I would, the way I see it is that, like, okay, so for Montas, I think kind of part of the issue with him throwing a bunch of fastballs the second he got to New York is more so he was coming back from a shoulder thing, and, you know, you're asking a guy on a pitch limit to kind of figure out his stuff. He's going to go fastball first, even though I wouldn't necessarily agree that fastballs should be always your primary pitch. Yesterday he used his cutter a lot more. I think it helped him sequence better and counts on him execute a lot better with his fastball. I'm not gonna go into that because that's more of like a Yankee centric thing. But I think when it comes to like the total, I think the main argument we're making here is that Verlander isn't necessarily should not be considered a top 10 pitcher, and that the process of getting Verlander is going to be could be a good pitcher. And I always thought he was going to be a good pitcher. I wanted the Yankees to give him $25 million over, like, I wanted them to be aggressive and get him. I thought the contract he got was fair. You know, for Tatis, right? Like, there are reasons he won't perform well, which could be injury, whatever it may be. His reasons are just weird. His reasons aren't, he's going to slump. He's going to do this. He's got this flaw. He's just stupid. Right, that's a player flaw of his.
I think like there, Fernando Tatis Jr. might be the stupidest player in MLB history.
Right, he might be considering how
they're like KKK members in MLB history, and they're probably more stupid.
I guess the most stupid on the field player in terms of like.
James, do you agree with some of their philosophy?
Oh my god!
Jesus, Jack.
Okay,
I do not. I can't believe you would even say something like that. Now, I think it's time to have a little. I think it's time to have a discussion.
We didn't even get to talk about how I ranked shortstop Lindor Monk shortstop. Right. We just completely
glossed. We're gonna have a discussion about two players. One has 140 innings pitched, a 3.08 ERA, a 3.51 FIP, and a 3.44 xFIP.
That's one. This is Montgomery and Montas.
Yeah. One has 124 innings pitched, a 3.84 ERA, a 3.54 FIP, and a 3.44 xFIP. Same xFIP, 7.76 runs better ERA.
Well,
for a certain St. Louis.
You guys want some insight from inside the Yankees organization?
What?
So Montgomery for the Yankees, they believed that his stuff was not good enough to pitch the way he's pitched with the Cardinals. He kind of nibbled with the Yankees, and that's something that he's probably going to continue to do. The Yankees viewed him as a guy who's not going to make the postseason roster, and thus they traded him. Who's the better? So obviously Montas is the better pitcher, but it's not even an argument. Let's not.
Okay, let's not misconstrue things here. Montgomery has had by far a better season. It's not close.
Well, to be fair, I mean, the way I see it is xFIP and CR should not be used as true talent level. That's production. That's strikeouts, ground balls, walks. That's production, right? That's not your, like, how do I put it?
You think more those so are production?
Yes. I mean, what is it? What is it based off of?
It's based off of
strikeouts, walks.
I feel like every time we have this discussion, Ryan especially gets more and more radical here.
Production.
These are not production stats. These are expected stats. They are
these stats. These are the stats that support the results. They support.
They're not.
Are these results sustainable? Yes or no. It's not. Will a pitcher magically get better because they have like good peripherals? Like Andrew Heaney. You know, he didn't get better because he had good peripherals. He got better because he changed his breaking ball. Like, it's not, and I kind of agree with both of you here, mainly Ryan, because I think he's making a better point, but I kind of unfortunately agree with you too, James, that it's not a result, but it's a way to quantify how good a result really is and if it's sustainable going forward without making any kind of drastic adjustments.
Okay, but just from the standpoint of like a results-based stat, like I think, yes, a strikeout is a result. But I think when you're talking about results for a pitcher, what matters more than strikeouts just based on results is runs, right? The entire point of pitching is to prevent runs. It's not to strike people out. It's to prevent runs. And that's how you win games. It's not the team that strikes out more batters. It's the team that scores and prevents more runs.
Yes. I agree. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a big run differential guy. You know that. But the way I see it is that pitchers, obviously they're telling themselves, we don't want to allow runs. We don't want to allow runs, but ERA is not pitcher production in terms of like exactly what a pitcher is doing. That relies on defense. There are a lot of different factors that can affect ERA that are not in the pitcher's hands. So when you have a stat like ERA and we're looking at, you know, okay, you know, how many runs are you allowing a game? Like if a pitcher can 100% contribute to it, you know, can we really fault the pitcher for their ERA, right? Can a pitcher 100% contribute to their ERA? They can't, they cannot. I don't know the percentage. There are definitely people smarter than me that can, you know, kind of find what level a pitcher impacts their ERA in comparison to defense, but it's definitely not 100%, nor do I think it's even 99 or 95%. And so we've reached that point. I just don't think we can use, we shouldn't use ERA to like at all. I think ERA it should be used to like say, okay, this pitcher should win the Cy Young, but we shouldn't use it to rank, okay, this guy's a better ERA. He's going to be a better pitcher next year, or his, you know, when we rank pitchers, here's his ERA, he's better. Like, I don't know. I can't get behind using, not that I can't get behind using, I can't get behind the idea of like for true talent level come October, true talent level matters more than, you know, your win loss record or your ERA in the regular season, you know, how you got to that.
Well, why do you say that? Like more. When you say come October, your true talent level matters more than your regular season numbers, but why on what's today's date, August 24th? Why on August 24th does the pitcher making the start tonight not, it's not his true talent level, but it's his season numbers? Like, you say come October as if it's different than it is now. Like, yes, the game changes a little bit, but it's not that drastic of a change where you can completely change your philosophy on how you look at pitching. I mean,
it's not the game changing. It's more so how teams operate changing, right? Like, teams run out their best nine guys every single night in October. They don't care about resting guys in the position standpoint of things. Teams are more likely to use a guy three nights in a row. Teams are more likely to go to their extra, you know, their super high leverage relievers more often. You know, the way you manage a baseball game in October is completely different than the way you manage a regular season game. Like, for example, last night, Clark Schmidt's not pitching three innings against the Mets if it's a two-run game in October. They're going to make they're going to make Ron Marinaccio, they're going to push him to pitch one of those innings, right? They're going to be more aggressive with that stuff, right? That's just one example, and we see it every time. Like, the Mets are not bringing in – the Mets are not warming up, or bringing in Joely Rodriguez necessarily in that spot. I don't even know if Taiwan Walker makes it out of, you know, he loaded the bases and he walked as Waldo Cabrera with the bases loaded. I don't think he makes it out of that. I don't. There are different ways managers are going to manage teams in October. I think you look at Montas and Montgomery, you look at, you know, in October, who has the better stuff, who's going to give you a better chance of winning that game. It's Frankie Montas, because Frankie Montas can go out there and strike out 7, 8, 9 guys in 6, 7 innings. And Montgomery is less likely to do it. Montgomery is more like, they give up similar quality of
Montgomery's
contact.
Montgomery is more likely to throw Maddox.
Sure. He's more likely to throw Maddox. Sure. But he's, you know, I don't want to downplay Monty, because I think a lot of people overlooked Montgomery.
I think this is a perfect fit for him.
But think of it like this. You can't, in New York, you cannot, Montgomery cannot pitch the way he's pitching in St. Louis, because I'm not, New York is
sharp arch.
Right. Like, you have to think of the home run environment, right? If Montgomery decides, fuck you, I'm going to throw a fastball down the middle to Jose Altuve, Jose Altuve is going to take that fastball and probably do damage with it. Whereas if you decide to do that, you know, and he doesn't have to, you don't have to miss by much to get destroyed in New York with kind of the home run dimensions down the line. Whereas so a lot of AL ballparks, you think he pitched at Houston, he pitched at Boston a few times, right? Like, those are just not ballparks you could be pitching.
Right. Whereas like these NL parks, you're talking about these NL teams that are going to make the playoffs. It's, you know, the Cardinals are probably going to have to, this is a really good team, by the way. I think the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are being overlooked.
Yes, I agree.
And it pains me to say this, cause I fucking hate them, but I think the Cardinals in the National League might be the third best team. I don't believe in the Braves that much. And I think I'm on record saying that. I think you put the Cardinals and the Braves in a 5-game series, I'm going to take St. Louis. And I just think,
I don't know if I agree with that, but I think it's possible.
I think just the Cardinals have put together finally a roster that you can say, like, you know, with Arenado and Goldschmidt playing the way they have, I mean, it's really hard to argue with it. They're a World Series contender, I think, now. I would make that argument.
The reason I will take the Braves or the Cardinals in a playoff series is because I think when you look at what the Cardinals do, yes, they have a very good infield defense, and that's going to help them. But when you're relying on batted balls a lot, you're relying on more variance, right? There's a lot more outcomes that can come about when you're pitching to contact.
Yeah, but I think first of all, you don't know what the word variance means. Second of all,
I mean, I think I used it properly there. There's a lot more that can go wrong when the ball's in play.
Yeah, I understand that. Out. But there's also a lot of things that can go right. Like,
yeah, but
when there's more variance, James, as you say.
Drive variance.
James, what an XBA of 180, right, means there's an 18% chance that ball goes for a hit, right?
Right.
Whereas a strikeout, there's no 18% chance that ball goes for a hit. That's what I'm talking. There's no, with a strikeout, there's no, oh, the guy hit a double. Right. There's no, oh, the guy, you know, move the guy from second to home on a strikeout. Like, that's so unlikely.
Who's moving the guy from second to home on a ground ball to shortstop?
Single? On a single? Or a booted ball? A ball gets thrown away? Like,
drop third strike, and then the ball gets thrown away, and it's 2-0.
Yeah, like, but that happens. Wait, how does that happen as often as a shortstop getting a bad hop? Is that, you know what I mean?
Definitely not. Right. But like, I think this Cardinals pitching staff is so good at pitching to the team strength. Like, if you look at guys like, I think their entire starting rotation has an ERA under 4, but I mean, obviously Dakota Hudson is not making a start in October. That's just not going to happen. It'll be Wainwright game one, and then you go some combination of Michaelis and Michaelis and Montgomery, and then potentially Quintana. But I mean, I just don't think that, like, Hudson's not starting a game. But
you're also overlooking the fact that, I mean, Mikolas has gotten destroyed in his last few outings. So there's a little bit of concern.
I literally just said his name right, and you somehow managed to get it.
Because I forgot what you said, so I just took a guess. But okay. He's, I mean, you can't, I'm sorry, but like, not that you can't win a World Series off this. You absolutely can. The Cardinals can absolutely do it.
I mean, he's getting destroyed. His last two starts, he has given up 3 runs in 16 innings. He's thrown 8 innings in
his last two starts.
He had one really bad.
I forgot about the Rockies one. Yeah. But my point more so is, I mean, look at the offenses that we're talking about here. Arizona, Milwaukee, Chicago, Washington, Cincinnati, Philly. I mean, Philly's actually pretty decent of a lineup. But
the Phillies have like a top 10 offense at least.
Not without Harper. Without Harper,
that's they've been very solid the last.
They're a good team, but that's more because of their pitching.
So, I can't believe you're saying that. Remember the fucking Phillies pitching like 2 years ago?
Dude, like the Phillies are a 104 WRC plus team. That's 10th in baseball, but remember they have no Harper. So it's without Harper, I imagine it's closer to 102. So I think
Castellanos has to be better than he has been. Like he's actually been so bad. Like,
When you look at, I actually think, so what is it? 12 teams are going to make the playoffs this year. Obviously it's way too early to do this, but I'd assume those 12 teams will be, well, in the AL, we'll go. It's the Yankees are a playoff team. The Astros are a playoff team. That's your top two, right? And then your three wild cards, I think, are going to be Seattle, Tampa, and Toronto, right? Do you guys agree with that?
I don't know.
Mariners, Rays, Toronto, yeah.
And then I think the AL Central, I at some point, I do want to talk about the Guardians, but we'll just, I think they're going to win this division pretty easily, actually.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll be pretty easily, but I'm confident. They'll do.
I think they're just the best team in this division, and I don't really think it's that close. Maybe if the White Sox can get their shit together. I don't really believe in the Twins, but that's another question. And then in the NL, I think it's like pretty cut and dry. The Mets, Cardinals, and Dodgers will win their divisions. I'd be surprised if, other than the NL East, like I'd be very, very surprised if the Brewers win the NL Central.
I agree. I would be shocked.
Because I think the Cardinals are a much better team.
And the Brewers have dug a hole. Like they're 5-6 games back with not much time to play. And they haven't played the Cardinals well head to head. Like you've reached a point in the season where 5-6 games back is like being 10 games back in May kind of level.
Right. Because 5-6 games now is, I mean, like you sweep a 4-game series and it's close, but I just can't see that happening.
Right. And again, you just have so few games to play. Like you sweep them, and then you have to outplay them for 2 games after that. And then remember, if you lose,
you lose one game in that series, and you only gain 2. Right. Yeah. I mean the Dodgers might as well have already clinched this division. They're not winning. They're not going to lose.
Yeah. There's a 0% chance they blow the division.
But I think the Padres are a playoff team, and then I think, it's between the Phillies and Padres, right? Because I think the Brewers ultimately will end up making it as a wild card team, and then the Braves. Obviously, if the Braves don't make the playoffs, I would be so shocked.
I don't want to cut you off, but I just want to point out that Bobby Dalbec is playing shortstop tonight for the Boston Red Sox.
Okay. I saw I was insane. That's
what's up with Bogarts? Is he hurt?
I think they just wanted to give him a day off.
Why is Hernandez not playing shortstop? What is wrong with
the Red Sox, man? The Red Sox are a mess, and it's actually so awesome that the Red Sox are a mess there.
I think that's the other thing is the Red Sox are good. If we go back to what we were talking about at the very beginning with shortstops, like I think, like Bogarts is still one of the best shortstops in the league, but I don't think he's in Boston next year.
I don't think he's in Boston.
Why not?
I think he's playing third base for the Cubs next year, but that's
enough. I think the funniest outcome will be him playing shortstop for the Phillies, and yeah, because it'd be funny because they just
that would be like the greatest. That would be like such a match made in heaven right there.
Him and Bohm on the left side of a defensive infield would be so fucking funny. Like I'm sorry. Like I need to see that. I need to see it. I need to.
It would feed families.
It would. It would feed families, and I think Bogarts and Bohm on the same side of the infield.
I don't know. I think Bryson Stott's kind of coming into his own though, so we'll see what.
I mean, I will say I would take Bogarts over Bohm, not Bohm over Stott at shortstop, and then just like figure out third base. Like, fuck it, just
who's Stott at third base? I don't know what.
Yeah, there's.
Well, but I'm just saying, like over the past couple of months, Stott has actually been really good. So obviously, he's not Xander Bogarts, but what?
I gotta put up his stats. I haven't seen him.
So the last, he got up to a really, really bad start, but since July, since June 26th, he has a 118 WRC plus, 8% K rate, 8% walk rate, 10% K rate. So pretty good. Like, he doesn't strike out a lot.
That's been the, how is he hitting the
that's
ball
been harder? The main thing.
Does he hit him? Okay. He hits the ball hard, but he doesn't barrel. So that's, he doesn't have a high, like, I don't think he's going to be a very good hitter, but I don't think he has to be a very good hitter for him. Like, I could be wrong. I hope he's a good hitter for his sake. But
what do you mean?
I don't think he's
going to be. What do you
mean
he doesn't have to be a very good hitter? He can't fucking field, so he better be a good hitter.
Oh, wow. Negative. So he's a second. That you see, this is a. So you can't really put him at shortstop. You have to sign him. You have to sign him at short. You can't put him at second. You can't have a second baseman who can't hit.
He's really bad. This guy's not very good.
No, I think he can hit the
less. He's not good.
He's Adam. If he's Adam Frazier, like, you know.
You're just gassing up. He's not good.
No, I think he is. I think he can hit. Well, anyways. What do you do with it? But at second base, they have, like, Segura's been there for so long, and he's been kind of like a rock there. Like, he's, you know.
Segura's been there for, like, 3 years.
It's, like, four. Yeah. He's solid, though. He's good.
Okay. He's. I think they're. I don't know if they're going to pick up his option. At the end of the season.
They have to. They should.
Or does he have control of his option?
No, yeah. It's club. It's $14 million. They pick.
Oh, yeah, they'll pick that up. Yeah. It's a solid player.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Phillies are interesting because a couple years ago, like, they were kind of a laughing stock, and now they're like they're a respectable team. So
well, they were the laughing stock with the low Phillies shit. Like, they couldn't play defense and they'd always look funny, like, and they were not very good. But I mean, like, they've always been, like, a solid team. Like, I feel like they haven't ever been super uncompetitive, and, like, recently that is. And, I mean, I guess when they signed Harper. You know, Harper.
Yeah, but they still haven't made up. Like, there was a point where people thought that they were the best, were going to be, I think it was 17 or 18.
That was weird. I don't know why people thought. I guess they thought.
People thought that they were going to be, like, one of the best teams in the National League. I remember this like it was yesterday. They signed Jake Arrieta. And it was supposed to be like this huge offseason signing, and then he fucking sucked.
He sucked. I mean, it was probably a bad signing as it was, like, if you think about it, because he probably was bad signing. I'm just off of that one. But it's like, I don't know. Their team is just like, it's a really solid team. And they also have to extend Nola because Nola's expiring next year.
I think Nola's leaving.
You think that after next year or like?
Oh, I don't think they trade him, but he's a free agent next offseason, I think.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like he's gone after this year. I was gonna be like, I don't know about that.
Because they already have so much money tied up in so many guys. Like, I just don't. And I know it's a huge market, Philadelphia.
Painter and McGarry will come up. They're good pitchers.
They should trade Nola to the New York Yankees for a really good player.
Okay,
like,
so the Phillies. The Phillies are like a big market, but they don't print money like the Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers do. So. I just think, like, you have so much money tied up in Wheeler.
They're like the Red Sox.
And they got Wheeler signed a huge deal. Harper, huge deal. Cassianos is on a huge contract.
Schwarber's making
so is Kyle Schwarber. Million. Like, they have a lot of money locked up and a lot of guys. And not all of them are very good.
They have Schwarber and Harper and Cassianos. Like, basically, they're – they have an outfield, but they also don't have a center fielder. I mean, I guess they have Marsh, who's kind of cool, but, like, they, I guess, have to DH one of Castellanos, Schwarber, the other one plays left field, whatever. And they have
– yeah, and then Hoskins is at first, but he's been kind of ass this year, I think.
Hoskins is good, I think.
He can hit. He just can't field.
Yeah.
Which is the story of the –
well, that's the entire Phillies roster. They have 4 DHs.
Well, they have a really good – they have a really good – like, their lineup is really good. They don't really have a third baseman if Bohm can't really.
Oh, no, Hoskins has been fine this year. I don't know why I thought – I don't know. Oh, it's – and then I think Real Muto is getting hot too.
I mean, he's still really good. Yeah, he's not bad at all. And then I guess they have a really good lineup. Their pitching is good, but it's not – their bullpen is still not good.
I mean, Real Muto has 4.5 F4 this year. That's, like, right on par with his career. He's had a really
– 4.5 F4 I've ever heard of, like, ever.
What?
That's, like, the fakest 4.5 F4 I've ever
seen. It's called.
Why? He's a 120 WRC plus, and he's an elite framer. Like, what do you want from him?
That's like the fakest 120 WRC plus I've ever seen. I'm not even like I'm not like. What are we doing? That's not a real player. I don't believe that.
Well, anyways, I mean, you just look at a team like this, and I think that they could actually do some damage in the playoffs because, you get a 3-game series with the Phillies, you don't want that. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I think they can knock off. They'll be if they make it, they'll probably be the 6th seed, right?
Yeah, I mean, Nola.
Or the 5, because the Padres don't know how to win baseball games anymore.
Yeah, so if they're 5th, I really think this team can knock off Atlanta.
I don't think they can knock off any team besides, like, really.
I don't know if they can knock off the Mets or the Dodgers, but
they could knock off the Mets or the Dodgers. I mean, anything can happen.
I mean, can happen. Like, this team could win the World Series.
I think Nola is probably a better pitcher than Scherzer, and Wheeler is not on par with DeGrom, but he's still really good. So it's like,
I mean, we're also going 1-game basis. Yeah, really factor volume here.
Exactly.
I will say, what the Phillies, and I'm speaking as an honest Philadelphia Phillies fan, they should trade Aaron Nola for a good, solid third, you know, infielder like Josh Donaldson, you know, respects the game, good guy for the locker room, you know, stands up for the right thing.
Are we sure Nola pitches game one for them?
Yes. He should.
I think it could be Wheeler.
I think it's Wheeler.
Maybe you want to just punt game one and hope for the best in game two. What if they start like Ranger Suarez in game one and punt game one against DeGrom, and then they go out and they get
with Nola against Scherzer and then Wheeler against versus, like, Bassett DeGrom.
Knock out DeGrom. Not DeGrom. Diaz cannot go in one of those games. So you
probably disagree with that, because they have put Diaz in 3 games in a row. Buckshell
didn't really pitch anything. Like, I remember David Cohn was in that wild card game with like 140 pitches. Like, do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember this. So you're right. You are right. You are correct.
Like, Buck Showalter will leave a guy in the game or put a guy in the game. Like, he's an old school guy. He's a winner, except he loses.
I don't really understand why people hype up Buck Showalter. So I had a Mets fan try to explain to me that Buck Showalter is an elite manager because he knows the rules. This is so serious.
Like, he knows the game, dude. You got to respect
him. Well, I mean, there are managers in Major League Baseball who don't know the rules.
Yeah, hey. Like Tony La Russa and Joe Maddon when he was around. Like, other than that.
So let me know what we think about this trade I just cooked up. So I'm thinking Oswald Peraza, Steven Writings, Aaron Nola. Get that swap done.
Do we think it's even a possibility that the Orioles make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yes, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, why not?
Because I think the Mariners are better. I think the Rays are better. I think the Blue Jays are better.
I'm not convinced that the Rays are actually better.
Yeah.
They're a good team.
Okay, how many games behind are they from the let's look up Seattle.
Okay, so Seattle is 2.5 above Baltimore, tied with Toronto. And they're a half a game. So it's Tampa's half a game up on Seattle and Toronto, and then Baltimore's 2.5 behind them.
Has Baltimore played all of their games against Seattle this year? And I assume they have more against Tampa and Toronto.
So they play 4 more against Toronto, and then another 3. So that's 7 more against Toronto.
That could, like, decide the whole thing, I think.
The Orioles have 10 games left against Toronto and 0 against the Rays.
That'll decide it basically right there.
Here's why I don't think it's fair to compare Tampa Bay and Baltimore. I don't think you understand. If the Rays were to miss the playoffs,
I don't care. You hate fun. Why do you hate
fun? You just hate
fun. You know what? If the Rays were to miss the – I hope you understand. If the Rays were to miss the playoffs – not the Blue Jays. If the Rays were to miss the playoffs, that would be like winning a World Series. If they miss the playoffs, that would be my World Series.
I think the only one of these teams we're talking about right now that's a shoe-in is I would be very shocked if Seattle doesn't make it.
Why? I would be shocked if Toronto doesn't make it. I think Toronto's clearly the best team of the three.
Seattle has the easiest schedule remaining, first of all, because they're in a shitty division. I think
the Blue Jays actually have the easier strength of schedule, according to fan graphs.
So I don't care. The Mariners play in the AL West. This division's a fucking shitstorm. Yeah,
dude, they stopped. The Blue Jays stopped playing the Yankees. So who in the division do they have to really fear?
The Orioles? The Orioles are better than any team in the AL West except the Mariners, who can't play themselves, and the Astros, who they don't play again.
But the Blue Jays play a lot of their NL Central schedule now. Like, I think you're kind of
– Yeah, and
they
the don't NL, have that like, many interdivision. Respect the Cubs.
No. You guys suck. Like, they play, dude, they play Boston.
Okay, I'm sorry, Angels, Ryan. I Chicago, hate to break it to you, but Pittsburgh. The Cubs have actually won. I think they've won 6 series in a row.
And Wait, they're better.
That's more than the Yankees.
They're about, you know what? You know what's going to change tonight? Do you know what's going to change tonight?
What?
The Seattle, not the Seattle, the St. Louis Cardinals, fuck, are going to be stopping your little streak today. So,
well, if they don't stop it today, they're not stopping it tomorrow because Dakota Hudson sucks. But anyways, that's not it
today. I remember Hudson, I remember Cardinals fans trying to convince me Dakota Hudson was just always going to outperform his peripherals. That was fun.
I mean, he still has a 4.33 ERA. The only reason I'm saying that he sucks.
He's so bad. He's terrible. He fucking sucks. He's not good. I'm sorry, Dakota Hudson, if you're listening to this, you're not great.
I just want to let Dakota Hudson know, you know, you're a good dude. You know,
all right.
Your organization. I want, you know, guys like Arenado and Goldschmidt are doing the right thing for baseball. They're not cowering to Major League Baseball's sheep-like rules, you know, and I respect them for it.
All right, before we wrap this up, let's talk awards. We haven't done this in a while.
Okay.
Judge is the AL MVP, right?
Yeah, no question.
Who's second?
Ohtani, not even close. Ohtani's third.
It's not close. It's not close one or two, and it's not close two.
Like, okay. I don't think Judge third? And Ohtani are that close right now.
Yeah.
Although no. I wouldn't be all that surprised if Ohtani closed that gap.
Okay. I don't disagree. I think it's not impossible for Ohtani to close the gap. He has a hot month of September, and Judge doesn't have a hot month of September. You know, that happens. You know, I think Verlander should get. I mean, the difference between him and Jose Ramirez in F4 is 0.3, and you know, it'd just be cool. I like when pitchers get votes, so I'll go Verlander or Jose Ramirez or Alvarez. One of those guys could be the 3, 4, and 5. That's where I see it.
So you went. Judge, Ohtani, Verlander, Ramirez, and what'd you say? Alvarez. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree with those guys. Like, I think as it is, I said Cease, I think is better. Or not better. I definitely don't think he's better, but I think he's gonna win. Not gonna win.
He's not gonna win it.
I'm wording this incorrectly. I think Cease deserves it. As it is right now, he's a very low ERA and his strikeout numbers are incredible.
Yeah, but he's an unearned run merchant, so I can't.
He kind of is,
and he walks more guys. Look, when it comes down to it, you know, two guys with low ERAs and low FIPs, I'm giving it to the guy with less walks, and also Verlander has more volume, so you know, there's that. So I mean,
yeah, I go Ramirez 3, and then Cease 4, Verlander 5, I think, and then
yeah, that's fair.
Jack, you give your ballot.
All right, Judge 1, Ohtani 2. I don't know. What are like the war leaderboard says? I'm going to copy off of that. Hold on.
If we go like complete war leaders.
Why don't we just do this before we started? That's kind of some lack of preparation there, James. I'm not going to lie. All right, Judge 1, Ohtani 2, Ramirez 3, Alvarez 4, Devers 5.
Put a Dominican on there. That's based. I respect that.
I mean, yeah. And then if we want to do NL, I think it's tough to argue with those two Cardinals at the top, right?
Yeah, Goldschmidt, Arenado 2, Freeman 3, Machado 4, Alcantara 5.
I'm going with
you. Did that on purpose, Shaq. That was completely shameless.
Why?
You left off a clear top three candidate.
Like who?
On purpose.
Who?
Francisco Lindor.
He's not a top three candidate. He's not even top three in F4 amongst position players. He's fourth.
Absolutely.
Why would he be
He's a 119 WRC. All right, well, not 119, but like.
That's swollen.
That's swollen. Close enough
to 119. No, but.
Close enough to 119.
He and Dansby Swanson have a similar word, so I can't.
You can't argue
well, he's been just so much better than Swanson.
No, but you can't argue he's better than Arenado, Goldschmidt, Freeman, or Machado this year.
He's better than Freeman and Machado.
No, he's not. He's got worse stats.
Cry me a river.
What? Okay, I have a question. You want to post Lindor's big game yesterday when he had that moment where he crushed Wani Peralta? And
why don't you post that moment, James? Why don't you show
Lindor walked twice yesterday.
Okay, why don't you? What about in the clutch? Doesn't he fall under the lights?
I don't know. I didn't watch the game.
Oh, you didn't watch?
I watched the games. I watched every game.
I was box score watching yesterday.
Also,
So you said Goldschmidt you think is the MVP right now?
Yeah, Goldschmidt's the MVP.
Goldschmidt, Aaron. I actually think it's Arenado, but
Goldschmidt and Arenado have the same WAR, so I went to win probability added, and Goldschmidt leads in win probability added.
Oh,
so.
Well, here's the thing is it's between two teammates. It doesn't really make that much of a difference who's going to win it.
Us.
I think like they're the two clear favorites, right? I actually don't think Lindor is top 30, but wow. I definitely think he's top 5. I go Machado 3, Lindor 5, Lindor 4, and Alcantara 5, because I don't like Freddie Freeman.
The reason I want to give it to Goldschmidt over Arenado is I think Arenado can still win one down the road as well, whereas I'm not sure Goldschmidt's going to grab another. I think that, you know, I want to get Goldschmidt his MVP so he can definitely be a Hall of Famer. I think Arenado's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I want Goldschmidt to get it and be a first ballot.
He'll be a Hall of Famer. So,
you know.
He's going to be a Hall
of Famer. Yeah, but
Goldschmidt will be too. This isn't like...
It's not rocket science.
No, but
These are both surefire Hall of Famers.
I still want him. I want him to get his MVP. I need him.
I really hope Arenado is good. Why do you like him so much? He's unvaccinated.
Goldschmidt?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's just a guy. I mean, I don't. He's a guy
unvaccinated.
Oh, Jack.
He's a guy who's been. He's been a guy who's. I mean, he's just been a guy who's been around. You know, one of the better players.
I mean, we're looking at the WAR leaderboards. Like, it's interesting to see it because, like, usually there's a guy in here who just comes out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. Like if we look at last year's. You know, we had Brandon Crawford in the top 10. Is Brandon Crawford a Hall of Famer?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I must be hearing incorrectly. Is Brandon Crawford regressed? Has he not been that good this year? Is that something that was – I'm sorry. Was Brandon Crawford not that good?
Is he not that good, James?
Is he not that good?
I was never defending him that badly.
Mm.
I put him pretty high on my list, but, like, not
He should have been top high. 10. I just knew – and, you know – I said it too. I said about I missed with
you. You missed on Joey Votto, if that's what you're gonna say.
Joey Votto's hurt, which sucks.
Yeah. Okay. But. Like if we just finish up these lists,
look at this. The top guy. I don't think the 3-4. I just want to go with the top guy.
Like sure. I think the MVP award is going in the AL. I think it's definitely it's Judge. In the NL, I have Arenado. You guys have Goldschmidt.
Then Cy Young would be Verlander.
I think I'll go Cease. I said that earlier.
Verlander, Alcantara.
Alcantara, obviously. And then Rookie of the Year.
Alcantara win it preseason.
What?
Who predicted that Alcantara
win? Did you pick
him? Yeah.
All right, if we go – and then Rookie of the Year. AL is actually a really interesting race, I think, now.
I'd say Rutschman. It's not really close.
I think it's Rodriguez, but
– I think – I'm – Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Rutschman. James thinks it's Rodriguez for no reason.
Okay, I will say about Rodriguez, it is Rutschman at this point, but it's so close that I wouldn't be shocked if Rodriguez gets it down the road, you know, if he picks it up a little bit. I will say when it comes to the third place, I know I said we don't want to talk about it, but Stephen Kwan should finish third, and Stephen Kwan's pretty good. But yeah, Rutschman, he's a better hitter, better defender. Base running wise, he's providing more base running value. Argue with Rutschman, who's probably what? I mean, how good do you think he is amongst position players at this point? Top 30?
25.
Yeah.
And 25, Rodriguez, I think Rodriguez is probably also similar.
Yeah.
First of all, Jack, you said Rodriguez was a top 10 player.
Yeah, and I think I'd still
stay. I defend that take.
I would still go.
Oh, I defend that too, but I don't think Adley's
top 10. Rodriguez is a better player, but I think Rutschman has had better results this year. So
yeah. Like I think
I could agree with that. I still think Rodriguez will end up winning it. Okay. And then in the NL, I think it's Strider and it's not really that close.
I don't know if this is gonna be a hot take. But I think I might go with Harris at this point. I'm not sure. Just because I think Harris is going to end up getting more innings because I think they're not going to push Strider down the stretch the way they're going to be put. They would be willing to let Harris kind of go because Strider's hitting kind of close to his innings limit. He hasn't pitched as many innings in his professional career. You know, I don't think it would be crazy to say, you know, they're 0.1 F4 apart. Strider ends up, you know, pitching maybe doesn't pitch as many innings down the stretch. They kind of skip some of his starts. They shorten some of his starts, and Harris is still playing every day. And Harris goes out and snags that rookie of the year. So I'm going to say Harris just because I think the Braves are too – I don't even know if I can say that because the Braves are in a hot division race. So it's a Braves guy, I think we can agree, right? Like it's going to be an Atlanta Braves.
Oh, it's one of them for sure because who else is even in it? Brendan Donovan?
Yeah, and, you know, Morel has had a good year, but he's
not – I mean, yeah, Morel's been fine, but, like, I love Christopher Morel, but I just don't think he's rookie of the year candidate.
I agree. Yeah. Let's go on to manager of the year here. AL is Brandon Hyde, there's no question. NL, I don't know. Maybe
Buck Showalter.
Nah.
I would not pick Buck Showalter. If you couldn't take that Mets team and win a lot out of games, you fucked up. Like that
team. Luis Rojas did. I know they're better, but they're not that much better.
I guess you could say if they got hurt, you would say, okay, yeah, there's a reason the team isn't that good. But the Mets did not get reasonably hurt, and the guys who came in and filled in to their, you know, they did a job. So
I don't know if you guys are going to love this, but I think you could also make an argument for Ali Marmol to be manager.
I think it's going to be the Phillies interim guy. I think he deserves it. Yeah, I think – you know, the Phillies are better than what – like, that team was – I'm not saying this team is great now, but that team was dog shit when Girardi got fired. And I'm not saying Rob Thompson's a catalyst for their success, but if you look at a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2012, if you look at a team that's been a laughing stock, you know, they've played like dog shit. They've been undisciplined. They've played terrible baseball. You know, they've been an embarrassment. They're in the front and center of every embarrassing moment you could possibly imagine for a team. They go down, they lose Harper, you know, okay, they're out of the playoff mix probably, and they're comfortably in a playoff spot, right? You know, they have as many wins, you know, they're in the same level of the Padres, you know, in terms of win-loss record, and the Padres added Juan Soto to their fucking team, you know what I mean? So I'm going to go with Rob Thompson for my NL manager of the year, just because everyone else is like Snitger, no, the Braves are supposed to be good.
Could you make an argument that Dave Roberts is going to win it? Because they might set the win record. I would not – like I said last episode that I would be surprised if they set the win record. I don't know if I would be anymore. They're 85-37. What the win record is 116-56. So 19, 31. What's it? What's 116?
There.
It's 41. No, 31.
The Dodgers have a better than like 1% chance of winning 116 games at this point, and that's
better than 1%.
No, but you get like for every like last year, it's 1% for the Giants and Dodgers, less than 1%. Like
all they have to do, something percent. Ryan, all they have to do is go 31-19.
Yeah, it's not impossible for them to do that.
It's 31-19 is okay. That can't be right.
No, it's not 31-19. Is it?
Can't be.
No, that's a one. It can't be.
No, that
how many
is.
Wins do they have? How many wins do they have right now?
Oh no, it's 31-9.
Oh,
okay. Well, there's my math going wrong. It's 31. Yeah. And
okay, 31-9 is very difficult.
I think they could do that though.
They have to win 78% of baseball games, which isn't the most, which isn't statistically impossible. But
I don't know how I got 19. Yeah, 31-9. I think it's a possibility.
They're also probably not gonna be pushing.
But even if they win 110, then I think Roberts probably wins it.
Like the best September, I'm looking for the best September record. I'm trying to find the best ever record in a month is what I'm looking for. I can't find that number, but I'd imagine the Dodgers have to have like a record breaking September. And I don't think they need to, like, why would they do it? Why would they push guys? Like, why would they force Kershaw to like pitch deep into games to win them games in September when the division's wrapped up? That's just stupid, right?
To set the record.
Yeah. Like that doesn't make sense. You're trying to win the World Series, right? The Dodgers don't care about the win record as much as they care about winning the World Series and staying healthy.
Oh
right?
No, definitely not.
So they're not going to push for it. And I think they're not going to be like, and it would be dumb. It would be short-sighted. It would be too much playing on emotions. It would not be the right long-term move. And I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think we're ever going to see a 116 team win again, because why would Dave Roberts would probably make himself look like a worse manager if he went out there and made Kershaw like pitch seven innings to win a game. And then like the Dodgers lost Kershaw for October. Like he would look like an idiot. So.
All right. Good point.
I definitely think, yeah. Wrap it up here.
Let's end it here. Thanks everyone for listening, watching, whatever. If you like what you saw, please give us a 5-star rating, whatever platform you're listening on. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Deep Drive Pod. Follow me on Instagram at LV Nerds and Twitter at LV Nerds. Follow James on Twitter at James Valentinus. Follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM. And it's been Deep Drive Left Field by Cassianus. We'll see you in the next episode.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.